Guys, what would happen if we shifted our focus from simply assessing students to empowering them with ownership of their learning? Could creative self-assessments be the key to helping students connect their efforts with their learning targets? And if so, how can students use their own assessment results to then build a personalized growth plan rather than just seeing a grade? In today's episode, this is part 4 of a 5-part series talking about everything assessment and evaluation. I can't wait to get into some creative and self or peer assessment strategies that teachers can use and students can benefit from in the classroom. Enjoy. Welcome back to another episode of the Traveling Principal Show. My name is Joe Colossi, and I am your host of the show where we explore strategies, insights, and trends to help you navigate your journey in education. This week, we're talking about all things assessment and evaluation. This is a 5-part series. This is part 4. Okay, we've already talked about the different kinds of assessments. We've talked about the variety of assessments that should be used and how they can be used. We talked about the importance of feedback. We talked about some data-driven assessments that can really make some serious change on the fly right then and there as a part of the process of learning in your classroom. And today we're going to talk about some creative assessments that can really spark some motivation inside students, and also the power of peer or self-assessment. And so the onus is not completely on the teacher with an attempt to try to give the learning back to the students. We've talked a lot about what assessments means for us as educators, but what about for the students, you guys? I think one of the most powerful things that we can do is give students ownership of their own learning through self-reflection and peer feedback models, but also ones that are done creatively. When students reflect on their own work, they can begin to connect learning targets with their level of preparedness. They start to take control, therefore, of their own learning process because they become aware of this status, if you will. Not only that, but students can use assessment results to identify their own strengths then and develop a plan for growth. It's not just about a grade, it's more so about their own understanding of where they are and how, therefore, they can improve. Okay, you guys, so let's take a look at a bunch of examples. As we have been all week, once I start talking about these different categories, I'm going to flood you with examples of them as well. And so to start, what are some ideas and examples of creative assessments that I'm seeing throughout the United States? And so, of course, they're engaging and flexible. And so those, I think, are the two important characteristics of a creative assessment. And so let's take a look at them. First and foremost, one of the cooler ones I'm seeing out there, which is kind of a little fun and I'm learning how to do now, is infographics, right? Visual summaries of information or concepts. Remember how we regurgitate information in today's world due to social media influences? So when we're talking about video projects, students can create videos to demonstrate understanding in the same variation as they would see on any of these popular social media platforms. What is wrong with that if it sends the same information done in a creative way, which requires video editing and thought in a coherent process that would allow for any sort of new information to come across comprehensively? How about debates? I'm seeing debates are all over U.S. schools right now. I think it's relevant because of the time of year. And we're talking about being in election season, so it's something about that that is synonymous to what we can also do in our classes. Structured arguments on a given topic to show critical thinking, I think is extremely popular. And if we wanted to try debates in our own classroom, it's as simple as creating the rules of a debate, giving out assigned tasks for students throughout the entire classroom. So some are judges, some are on one side, some are the other side. Going over a rubric of expectations is key here. But debates are huge. And then there's the old school presentation. but a presentation that shows a course of learning that went from beginning to end. And here's the caveat. It does not necessarily have to end with a successful comprehension of said topic of study. So for example, I watched a presentation not long ago in a school that was about 3.5 hours south of where I live. A student had said, "This is what I'm talking about. This is everything from beginning to end. However, these are my questions. This is what I still don't know. This is what I tried to do to figure it out, but this is where I stumbled. This is where I fell short. This is what I've yet to find out." The majority of which I felt like as just a third party in the room was like the meat and potatoes of everything that I thought that they should have gotten and understood. And so I'm kind of like, whoa, that kid didn't get it. But that kid understands that they didn't get it and is still trying to figure it out. And that I thought was brilliant. So not the old school presentation where they just get up and they, you know, everybody's kind of standing there and some people have done it, some people have not. When we're doing our presentations, we have to be careful with our own rubrics and how we assess and evaluate the process prior to the presentation. So that kind of allows me a nice segue into self or peer assessment examples, because we're talking about empowering students to reflect on their own learning. And I had talked a little bit about learning logs. And so a self-reflection journal is an awesome starter. It's an awesome exit strategy. Students are reflecting on that actual learning process. You need a thought-provoking question. It could be, why do you think you did not or did understand the concept of today's lesson? Where did we fall short? What do you still need? Adequate time for this cannot be rushed, right? You can't throw these at me on your way out the door because I gave you 30 seconds to do it and it's like something that needs to be done. How about a peer review? The old school peer review. A lot of teachers are like, man, I got so many papers to grade. And I'm thinking to myself, give it to the kids and have them swap prior to them coming to you. You should be the final assessor, right? But that has to be trained. That's not something that we just give to kids and say, here, grade it, good luck. You can't even also give them a rubric and expect some sort of like high level of grading to be completed. But you're missing the notion that the actual act of grading someone else's is a part of the learning process that's extremely valuable. We talked about the learning pyramid the other day, and that was way on the bottom. I want to say it was within either the 75% or to the 50% of retaining the information of those that teach information to others, right? And that is a variation of that. When we're looking at somebody else's work and we're grading it and we're using a rubric, we're going back to the rubric, we're constantly reiterating those the categories that are necessary. It's almost like an element of rote memorization, you guys. A final one I want to talk about with peer assessments revolves around this notion of goal setting. And so students use assessment results to create improvement plans, right? So we give a kid a test. We go over the results with them. Everybody gets a makeup. Now I sit down with that kid and I'm like, look, you may not have done well this time around, but let's try this, this, and this. And our goal for this next one is to get you here. How do you feel about that? A kid could be like, yo, man, that's crazy, Mr. C. Let's try this. Okay, fine. We're taking steps up, and that's what I'm looking for. We're taking progress, and we're moving forward with it, and the potential of it is therefore evident, and that's what I want. That's my goal. That's what success is, and that is an awesome use of any assessment as a part of the learning process. So we went over a bunch of creative assessments, you guys. It's what I'm seeing. I didn't want to fabricate anything. I mean, people are using technology and things like that, sure. But I mean, I don't know if I find that to be too creative as well as it's usually within the presentations or the video projects. And so you can use your infographics on Canva or whatever it is that floats your boat with regards to that. Try a debate. It's pretty fun. Self and peer assessments, remember, these are things that can be done every single day. You have to give adequate time in order for them to be done correctly. And adding some sort of a goal and giving that student, therefore, intrinsic connection to progress and what that means in your class is the point, right? It's the point of any assessment. So thank you guys for listening to part 4 of this 5-part series on all things assessment and evaluation. My name is Joe Colossi. I am your traveling principal and your host of this show. If you need anything, if there's anything you want to chat about, let me know. joe@travelprinciple.com, and you can see the resource that I'm using to go over all this information on travelprinciple.com as well.